This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Not much of an F-off Friday here, Spencer, because we've had a lot of actual news to talk about. And basically, you know, Myles Garrett stole the NFL headlines once again today. He's known to do.
I was going to say it's been the theme of the offseason, right? Every time the Browns say something, he responds like 1 week later.
So. Well, I think this is in direct response to Trey Hendrickson yesterday. He gets granted his trade release, or at least the permission to go out and seek out a trade. I think Max Crosby getting paid, maybe a part of it as well. Like, we've had... Independent of Myles Garrett, we've had defensive end conversations really for the past 24, 48 hours.
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's that, which you alluded to. I also think it's, like I said earlier, free agencies next week. Clearly his representatives are like want to force the issue of like, listen, we want teams to know that Myles Garrett can be part of their plans. Come make a deal. Come make this happen. So like I'm assuming he wants to like be somewhere before... You know, the summertime, like we've talked about, like maybe not trade him until June or whatever. So they're trying to sort of force the issue one last time before free agency opens. But it doesn't sound like anything's going to happen from the Browns standpoint right now. I just, we've talked about it already, but like, I wonder where the sticking point is. Like, are the Browns just trying to get through the draft and then see if they can sell Miles on what they've built? Like, is this just going to go on for like another month and a half and then that's it? Or are they going to let it play out to the season?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. I was of the belief for the longest time that this thing would drag out and it would take forever. And so it'd be odd if all of a sudden I'm like, maybe something gets done. But I also didn't take Miles seriously when Miles was talking about going to
doing whatever
extent.
He has to do to get to make. He said like his exact quote was like, I'll do whatever it takes or something.
I never thought he would miss games. I never considered that for him. I always thought you're a football player. You go play football. You're in your prime. You're coming off another defensive player of the year worthy season. And I'm telling you, the big aha moment I had today is just I didn't take Myles Garrett. And I credit Aditi. She put it out there. But I didn't take Myles Garrett for who Myles Garrett actually is. You know, could he take a whole year off basically to just go to Japan, write anime, pursue his other hobbies and his other interest instead of playing football for a 5-win team? And the Miles I know would consider that. Like, I think Miles, I believe Miles, when he stresses the part of football that he loves is the winning side of things. And if he's not playing to win, then what the hell is he doing? I believe him when he says that now.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree too that like he there's more to him than just football. But I also I don't know, man. Like I'm like you. I just didn't think he would ever get to a point where he was like, I'm just not going to play. Because as much as he can do other things, as much as Aditi can allude to him going to Europe and you know drawing anime or whatever he wants to do with his free time now that he'd have a lot of free time if he was just sitting out games. I still know his legacy matters to him. Like, and that's the biggest reason I pushed back on him actually taking to this extent because, yeah, like he stands there and talks about how those individual accolades are great, but they don't mean anything if they don't come with Super Bowls and whatever. And he's always been like a team first guy in press conferences. But we know that winning the Defensive Player of the Year mattered to him. We know that he talked about legacy all season when they were a one-win team, a two-win team, and you get asked after games, like, how do you keep guys motivated? His reasoning was always, you have to care about your legacy and who you are as a person. Like, you're going out there and putting stuff on tape every day. So I know he cares about this, and that's why I didn't think he would get here. And I guess we technically still can't say it's going to get there until we actually see him do it. Like, there is part of me that has my doubts, the same way the Browns maybe have doubts, which is maybe why they're digging in on their stance, that Miles will actually sit out games. It's an easy thing to say on March 7th. It's a different thing to actually not show up September 10th. But I believed everything he said to this point about like how serious he is about this. And the two signs for me the last couple weeks have been Browns come to the table ready to make him the highest paid defensive player. And his camp is entirely just like, we don't even want to talk about a contract with you. And now this week saying like, yeah, we're prepared to take it to this level if we need to.
What's more likely to you, that we have something like the Khalil Mack trade from a few years ago where it was on September 1st he got dealt, or something where next week I get an alert to my phone while I'm on the air discussing it with Nick?
Probably the September 1st option. Because again, for whatever reason, as I've said, the Browns seem convinced that they can Kevin Stefanski talked about it so flippantly last week, like, just basically, like, if you told him to draw up a depth chart of what the team was going to look like next year, he'd be like, Myles Garrett starting defensive end. Like, he's talking about it like he's going to be here on the field for week one and beyond. And I just can't get why they, like, I can't wrap my head around it.
They look at it like it's such not an option for them, which is so, it's just interesting to me. It's like, it'd be like if you're like, hey, Jonathan, go down the stairs and just, you know, get the winning lottery ticket for tomorrow. I'd look at you like you have a banana taped to your forehead. But that's how they treat this as well, as if they have no power over it.
Yeah, I can
as
go,
if they
I
have
can go
no
get
say.
The winning lottery ticket, sure.
Yeah, they look at it like, Like, what do you even suggest? How can you suggest such a thing?
Yeah.
It makes no sense, which is funny when you juxtapose it with the idea that we had people come on this show before the season ended and was like, whether Myles Garrett wants it or not, they should be having conversations about trading Myles Garrett.
You know what Nick would say if he was here, right? He would say this is the latest stunt by Barry and Stefanski, the Ivy Leaguers that run the Browns, just talking down to the Cleveland media and the Cleveland fans that they know all and you know nothing
about
the situation.
Wait, is that your Nick impression?
Kinda, yeah.
You did a Stephen A. impression.
He's
which
got a
I think,
little more like bluster to him. He's a bigger dude.
I think the group agreed your Stephen A. impression kind of flopped. I think we can... Hoagie saved you.
Can I say, I wasn't actually going for like an impression in that moment. I was just kind of like being loud and boisterous the way Stephen A would, but I digress on that.
And Ivy Leaguers.
Oh no.
This should be Nick now.
He's trying to step on the grenade for you because is that your Nick impression, Hody?
Hody's found a good lane.
That's
though.
My Nick.
Hody's found a good lane because now, like, wherever I go in radio, if I were to ever leave this market, I want to be clear, I don't actually want to leave this market, but if I were to ever like get a job offer, like, hey, Andy Roth calls me up, he's like, come to Atlanta, come hang out with me again. I have to bring Hody with me now because he'll just take anytime I have a bad take. He'll just come in with something worse. He'll take the bullet for me constantly. Like, this is a good grift for you, Hody. You now have somebody that you've attached yourself to.
The Ivy Leaguers. I would love to attach myself to the Ivy Leaguers.
Okay, turn the mic off and stop talking. 216-474-0092. Joe in Mayfield Heights. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you feeling today?
Pretty good. So, listen, I mean, let's step back for a second. I think Myles Garrett's the only sane one over there, okay? These guys,
take a breath, Joe. take a breath, Joe. It's okay.
He wants to talk to the owner in a misguided way, of course, because he doesn't want. Why are these guys making these decisions? Why are they even still here? This is the worst front office with coaching staff and this Paul D. Podesta. They had the most talent anybody's ever had since they've been back, and it's been up and down, and they botched it. They were supposed to create culture, and culture does not happen when you're going up and down. It's been absolutely horrific. They made the worst deal in the history of pro sports, and now what Myles Garrett wants is he doesn't want these guys here. Because they're just going to screw it up.
All right, but Joe, you asked why are they still here? I think I have a theory on that, and I appreciate the call, Joe. My theory on that, and this gets to is Haslam trying to wipe his hands clean of this, and you can get involved, 216-474-0092. My theory on this right now, as it remains on March 7th, The reason why Andrew Berry is still employed is becoming clearer and clearer by the day. Andrew Berry is the fall guy in this scenario. He has been tasked with cleaning up this mess, and he's the one, and this was never more evident by what you heard today and saw today, the fact that Jimmy Haslam directed Myles Garrett and said, I'm not even taking your phone call. The guy that makes the decisions is Andrew Berry, means that it's going to fall on Andrew Berry's shoulders when he does, in fact, trade Myles Garrett. This is going to be on him. And if he doesn't trade Myles Garrett, then he'll be the one that is looked at as stubborn for not trading him and not getting the pieces and the assets to rebuild the team. It now goes towards all the blame with Andrew Berry instead of us putting it at the feet of the owner, which most of us like to do anytime anything happens
with
this team.
If he's going to be the fall guy, why couldn't he just be the fall guy this offseason? Like, why couldn't he have just fired him back in January?
Well, because if you fire him, then you got to hire somebody new, and then you're tasked the new guy with being the bad guy when he just got there.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Like, would Jimmy Haslam, Jimmy Haslam wants to throw away an offseason trusting Andrew Berry to finally get draft picks right just so that he can, like, prove a point next year and be like, see, this is all Andrew Berry's fault. Let's fire him now. Like, that seems stupid.
Let's put it
this
way.
But I guess this organization has done some silly things.
If you hire Thomas Dimitroff, for instance, and then Dimitroff is the one that is instantly tasked with trading one of the best players in franchise history and starting off this rebuild and everything, who do the fans instantly hate?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
They hate Thomas Dimitroff. That's it. And I don't think as far as the draft picks are concerned.
Well, but I also think there's something, like, we talked about Myles Garrett being the thing that is basically the roadblock from this team accepting maybe where they are, like the reality of the situation. Like, if you hired a new GM, I think everyone will kind of assume that that was coming. Like, they might hate him for it, but I think they'd also, like, there's so many Browns fans that call into the station. There's hosts on this station who obviously get the microphone and they talk about it. Like, there's plenty of people who believe, like, this team's closer to having to, like, reset and sort of, like, take a step back than they are to actually competing. And so a new GM's coming in anyway and just embracing the fact that for a year they just got to bite the bullet and eat all these dead cap figures and, like, start fresh in 2026. So I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying, but I do think, like, it'd almost be refreshing to get a different person in here to start the clock.
I called for them to get a different person months ago. And it wasn't the only person that did that, obviously. Nick, who's usually here with me, he called for the same exact thing.
Yeah.
We were both in the fire Andrew Berry train. But I find it interesting.
Ivy Leaguers.
I find it interesting. And maybe he still believes in Andrew Berry, and maybe he still likes Andrew Berry, but he just saw a little bit of an outright here. Like, hey, listen, I've taken all the fall for the Deshaun Watson stuff. I've taken every bit of the brunt of the blame. Every time anyone talks about it nationally, Stefanski and Barry get the old Peterlin pass. No one ever rips on him for it. It all falls at my feet. Listen to Mike Florio talk about this ownership just once on this radio station, and you know who he blames for everything Deshaun Watson. Hell, 99% of the people listening that I'm talking to right now are blaming the ownership for Deshaun Watson and everything attached to this. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence today that Jimmy Haslam, the takeaway I had was Haslam's divorcing himself of this decision when it comes to Myles Garrett. And he's making it very publicly known that it is not his call, even though he's the owner and he meddles constantly. It's not his call. Andrew Berry's the guy you got to give a call to.
But see, I also think that the opposite effect has kind of already played out today, which is people are looking at this being like, you wouldn't even have a conversation with the guy?
Which I find a little funny, though.
That's going to drive him away even further.
But I find that funny. For years, we just yell about him being too involved, too close to it.
Fair.
And then he takes a step back. And yes, I think this is a ridiculous step back. I agree with everyone that thinks that. But he takes a step back and says, no, I hired the people to do this. It's their job. And then everyone gets mad at him for not being involved.
Well, and that's the thing. On some level, the Haslams have clearly allowed their people they hired to do their job. And I think he does deserve some respect, at least for that, right? Like, for so long, it was just a clown show in terms of the way they did things. And it was just like there was no process to it. They didn't trust anybody. So there is something to be said for the fact that, like, he clearly trusts this regime. That's why they're still employed. And he's letting them do their jobs. But at the same time, like, a pillar of the franchise just wanting to have a conversation about his future, that shouldn't be like all that hard of a thing for me.
Here's how the headlines go.
Like, if it was a quarterback, wouldn't he have granted him the meeting?
I get it. But here's hold on. We had reports with Baker Mayfield, by the way, that the idea why they dissolved. I shouldn't say reports. I don't think this ever got reported. But it's been enough time, I can just speak about it anyway.
It's like rumors, yeah.
The reason, not rumors, I remember exactly who told it to me, it's very reliable, it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the Baker Mayfield time, the reason why it fell apart between Haslam and Baker was because Haslam would call him and Baker wouldn't answer the phone. Stefanski the same way. Baker stopped answering the phones. But like Haslam at that point was very involved. He was very involved into what was going on with his team. But think about it from a different direction. If the report today is instead about him not taking a 10-minute Zoom call, and the report today is Myles Garrett speaks to Jimmy Haslam maintains Browns will not trade Myles Garrett, how does that change your perception about who's actually calling the shots when it comes to the decision with Myles Garrett?
I don't think it changes at all. I think it just...
I think for a lot of fans, it changes the perception. We would then think Andrew Berry doesn't have the final say on it, and we would think like large majority of the time that he's owned the team, it is Haslam then making the call and making the shots. And then when you actually do trade Myles Garrett, he's the one that's going to take the blame.
Yeah, I just also believe, though, that like he knows no matter what happens, he's going to get the blame. Like they've called everything that they've done. And that's the other thing. That's the other part of this. They come out and they speak to everybody publicly. And they use these phrases like, we're thought partners on everything.
Yeah, like they're Bert and Ernie.
You mean to tell me that was a Stephen A. quote right there. You mean to tell me that, like, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and Jimmy Haslam all sat down, maybe Paul DePodesta too, and they were all thought partners on the Deshaun Watson thing, but then the second that a face of the franchise is like, yeah, I want to trade, now all of a sudden it's only on Andrew Berry? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
You can tell me you don't believe it.
This organization that comes out and says like they're lockstep on everything. You ask Kevin Stefanski, hey, were you forced to change offensive coordinators? And he's like, no, we all talked about this together. And again, I understand they might be just completely BSing us. That happens all the time. But like, how all of a sudden is it like they put on this facade that they're always in lockstep on these things? They always have these conversations. Everyone's doors open. We're all here to talk. We'll work through these things all together. And then the second that Myles Garrett, the face of the franchise, is like, hey, I want to have a meeting with Jimmy Haslam. He's just like, nah, never mind. I'm not doing this.
Hey, if you want to tell me that he'd rather shoot him in the back than shoot him in the face and look him dead on, then I understand that logic. I do. the idea, I'm not even going to take your phone call, but I still am the one that is calling the shots behind the scenes, I can get behind that idea. But what he's put out there publicly right now is the exact opposite. It doesn't mean we have to believe it, but what's out there right now is that he wouldn't take a 10-minute Zoom call. 216-474-0092. What are your thoughts on this? We also have an update within one of the quarterbacks the Browns have been, well, I don't know that I've been interested in, but it seems like a lot of Browns fans have been interested in. We'll explain what that is as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.